Wow, what a powerful time of communion this morning. Thank you, Kathy, for teaching us into that time. Thanks, worship team. I have Drake and Kirsten Oyao with me here this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to let them talk a little bit. But I first want to just let you know that the Deeper Summer Session begins in June, and you don't want to miss it. It's the Spirit. It's the School of the Spirit. And so we'll be talking about how to engage the Holy Spirit. The one who is in us, the most powerful being in the universe, resides within us. And yet sometimes I think we live our lives almost ignoring the person in us. And so we're going to look at how to engage in him. There's a book that came out years ago called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I read that book and it transformed my life because I began to recognize that the one who is in me is my best friend. And so we're going to be talking about that in the summer session. So get registered for that summer session. But I have Drake and Kirsten here with me. Really a joy to have you with us this morning. And we just want to kind of open the curtain a little bit on your lives and let them get to know you. You know, you're the youth pastors here at the Mission. And you do a number of other things, too, besides that. But we're just so thankful to have you as part of the team. But I think it'd be good for the people to get to know you just a little bit better. One of the questions that people have been asking me a lot lately is, how is our team doing in the midst of this, this interesting time, this challenging season? And you're part of our team, so how are you doing?
Yes. How are we doing? It's so funny. I think for us in this quarantine, I think everyone's getting relational upgrades because we're at home all day long. So we've gone a lot deeper in our marriage and conversation and why we react certain ways, our talk, and even like understanding each other. And so we've actually got closer in our connection just by asking questions and learning. And it's been a great time. It's been a really good thing for our marriage. I've been trying to read more. So that's been good. I think that's like the main thing I sense for this time is that it's such a time to be with the Lord even more, to grow. And there's some things God's doing now that wouldn't happen otherwise. So I think for me, that's been my perspective.
Same thing. Just getting an upgrade in our relationship and also been just more practical, working out more and just cooking a lot of different foods. So yeah, it's been good.
Working out more. That's interesting. You know, I work out more. I've gone to the refrigerator far more often, walked all the way to the refrigerator far more often. I mean, it's my goodness.
Yeah, I can see it in the calves. It's working.
Yeah, it's working. Yeah, thanks. But you know, it's great that we're getting upgrades. This really is a time to upgrade, isn't it? But you know, Kirsten, you were raised in a Christian family, right?
Yes.
And, you know, there must have been a time at which you came to that place where you recognized, you know, I need Jesus. So tell us a little bit about that. What does that look like?
I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to a private Christian school from kindergarten all the way till I was in high school.
Wow. So and you survived.
Yes. I survived. Yeah. So it was good, and the moment I would say, so there would be chapels, and I was about 7, 8 years old, around there. They were talking about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and that really just hit home to me that that God would love me so much that he would die for my sins, and that really impacted me as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And so I was in my parents' room, and I just felt the love of God just come in, and just I was like, wow, God, if you love me this much, like, I want to give my whole life to you. And so in my parents' bedroom, I asked the Lord to come into my heart, and it's been,
and that's great. So you've experienced his keeping power all of these years.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Definitely.
What about you, Drake? What was your, you know, how were you raised? When did you come to Jesus? Yeah. What did that look like?
Yeah. It's actually interesting. For me, when I was younger, my mom and my dad, better be careful, they're watching me right now. my mom and my dad, they were amazing. And we didn't go to church too often, so we went just every so often. My mom, we lived in Vegas with my mother. My dad lived in San Jose. And so for me, church wasn't a normal thing. It was a thing we go do, you know, Easter and Christmas. But for me personally, I didn't really know God. I didn't really, you know, you go to church, but it doesn't mean you necessarily know God. And for me, I didn't have any really relationship with God at all. And I remember it's kind of weird in middle school, there was one song, and I definitely didn't know Jesus at the time, But there was a song I loved, and it was oh man, I forgot. Anyways, it was like one. It had one worship song and all these songs, and something always connected with me. But anyways, when I was 16 years old, my grandmother paid for a winter camp, a youth camp to a church, and I was open to church. I just didn't go as much. And I went, and Matt Gonzalez was speaking, and it was the first time he spoke. And when he was speaking, it just felt different in the room. I'm like, this is quite different than a normal, you know, church service, or whatever. And then miracles began to break out. The miraculous, I began to see people getting healed. Wow. One guy, big football player, I mean, buff guy, and just a guy that you would not imagine would be crying and being very emotional in public, just gets radically healed. I think one arm was messed up and gets radically healed and just starts bursting out in emotion. It was just like the awe of God in the room. And then after seeing miracle after miracle, I began feeling the presence of God. I was like, wow, Jesus is real. And because he's real, the Bible, everything's real, I'm going to follow him. And so it was a true, like, he's real, leaving everything, following Jesus. And he came twice a year. And then, yeah, that's kind of how I came to know Jesus.
Well, that's powerful. I know you have a Matt Gonzalez connection. Both of you do. We connected with Matt and Dez years ago and then got to know you guys a little bit. And then when they moved up here, you moved up here. Yes. But there was more to it than that. There was more God connection there. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, I'll share a little bit of my perspective. So when I was 18, I then joined the School of Ministry with Matt and Dez and did that with them. We both did that. And so, you know, I ended up youth pastoring. She was the worship pastor there. And then Matt and Dez had this transition. The Lord began to speak to them to come here to Vacaville. And that was massive for them because they'd been in Stockton their whole lives and poured their life out for that city. So that was extremely difficult. And we honored that. It was so awesome. But at the same time, we knew that we had our own literal jobs and responsibilities in Stockton. And so we were doing our thing, and they were in the midst of transitioning. And I'll share my perspective. And so I was, if anything, more motivated to, you know, let's build more in Stockton. You know, just I love Matt and Dez, but I was like, let's just keep building. Like, I was just more motivated because, you know, I was about to engage. I was about to get engaged to my wonderful wife. And the next day, so I engaged that day. And the next day we're doing a Tahoe trip with friends. And Matt's brother, Jordan, very prophetic, he actually gave me a word that radically changed me and moved me into the season almost, which was, don't let your loyalty take you away from where God wants to take you.
That's a powerful statement right there.
Yeah, and it just this felt something break off me. And I was like, huh. And so I just began to say, God, what do you have for me? And this new thing began to birth in me. And as I began to conversate with the Lord, it just began to look like, you know, long story short, just coming to the mission and just moving to a city. And we had, you know, leaving that and coming here, you know, we didn't have anything necessarily set in stone for us, but we just said, yes, God. And we moved and I had my business and I was working a job and I was able to transition that. But, so we came here and it was amazing. And then the first day while we were in our engagement, because we weren't married yet, so we still lived in Stockton. When we got married, we actually moved here. But right before that, we actually got a significant prophetic word, one of the craziest words I've ever gotten. And it was actually Krista Smith, an amazing prophetic voice. And she was standing on the stage, and I was sitting right there. And then she, you know, there's a lot of people here, you know, in our church. And so to get called out, it's kind of crazy. And so she said, hey, you know, Drake, and it was a word for us, and basically that this is a time where God is upplanting you and replanting your home roots into a new place, a new base, and new spiritual mothers and fathers. And it was just like, wow, like crazy confirmation. I mean, that, you can't get more direct than that. So,
no, that's great. We're so thankful that God did that and brought you to us. Now, Kirsten, you are also a worship leader. Worship is your passion. And I know, Drake, you have a lot of different passions. One of them certainly is the youth and wanting to see that in there. So for both of you, could you capsulize for the people what your core passion is right now as you look forward in ministry and in your life? What would that core passion be?
she's a processor. So for me, I think my core passion is seeing the church be equipped that Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not boxed into the four walls that, and it doesn't look so, sometimes evangelism can feel very task-oriented. But when we just love Jesus, you know, every so often I'll drive Uber. And, you know, I even this past week, I just had this word of knowledge. And for this lady, she had some type of pain. And we got to pray for her. And she got totally healed. And she just encountered God. And I got to pray for her. And a week ago or 2 weeks ago, there was even a salvation moment in an Uber drive. And so for me, it's just seeing, like, people understand that God loves people. And it's really just in this communion with the Father that we begin to see people the way God sees them and begin to call the gold out. And I really believe, I just love, and even in Stockton, I ran a lot of prophetic evangelism teams, and my favorite thing is seeing people that don't know Jesus, or maybe have walked away, just encounter the love of God and capture the pursuit of God, and just come back, you know, come home. And so one of my personal passions is seeing the church equipped to know that through the love of God, man, encouraging others, seeing people come to the light is one of the most beautiful things and refreshing things. And it just keeps that sense of, God, you're so in my midst. Sometimes when fear comes, it makes you feel like I can't see you, feel you, God. But when you're constantly just acknowledging what God's doing wherever you are, you know, there's such a beauty in knowing the awareness of God, because he's doing so much more than we can think. And it's just a... it's just a beautiful thing. So that's one of my passions.
Yeah, Uber evangelism. Wow, yes. Who'd have thought, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Kirsten, let you conclude this time.
Okay. I think one of my passions is to help people see the real Jesus, apart from, like, pain, and just to see him clearly and rightly, and also just to see people be set free from bondages and things that hold them back. So, yeah. That's
powerful. Well, thanks, guys. Love having you here, and we look forward to some great stuff, even in the midst of this this season with the pandemic. You're doing great stuff. The youth have, you know, if you want to connect more with what the youth are doing, get on imissionchurch.com, and you can look up what all the different things that you got going. So, love you guys. Thanks so much.
Yes.
God bless you, man.
God bless.
Uh-huh. Well, I want to just take a few minutes this morning, before Ryan comes to bring a very special word, I want to talk about a couple things that I think are important to us. One is, this is the first Sunday of the month, and this is our War Chest Sunday. Last month, we chose not to promote it because of it was in the midst of a little bit of chaos, everybody trying to figure out what's going to happen with this thing. But many of you gave anyway, so thank you for your faithfulness there. But this month, we're going to be using our war chest offering, our war chest investment, to facilitate the schools in the Philippines and Fiji in this very unique time. So let me give you a little bit of context for what that looks like. They have been experiencing lockdown like we have. In fact, even more extreme than that. Both of our teams, the teams in both nations, have been locked down in their cities and can't get out. John, in the Philippines, has been in the Philippines for over a month, cannot get out of the Philippines to come home. His family is here in the United States. They don't know how long he'll be unable to return home, because the Manila airport is totally locked down, not allowing any flights in or out. So we're praying for them. You be praying for them. This is a little testing time for their family. So they've had lockdown there. And then in Fiji, Keely, our national director in Fiji, has been locked in the upper islands. He went there to visit some family, and then they did the lockdown, so he got stuck up there. Couldn't return until just a couple days ago, and now he's back in Latoka with our team there. We're thankful for that. He's been able to reconnect with them. But they're impacted even greater financially across the board, across their nations, because they didn't go into this pandemic with any kind of real strong financial structure like we've had here in the United States. And so we've been talking back and forth about how we can do our schools this year. Our school is supposed to be in session now in both places. Can't do that. They can't gather, just like here. But we've been structuring some online things for our teams over there. And in our conversations, we've decided our response should be one of generosity and a response of just compassion on the people in those both those nations. And so We are going to offer an online course in both of those nations, and it will be tuition free. They will not have to pay anything. This will do a couple of things. One, it will demonstrate our desire to bless those nations, but it will also increase our influence in those nations. As what we've seen here, which is really interesting, here we've seen our, the numbers of people we're influencing through video have just grown, have multiplied, not added to, but multiplied what we were doing before. And so we're seeing a greater influence there, and we want to see that in these nations too. And so we will be offering that tuition free. So the offering today and this week, as you give, you know, in all the ways you know how to give, you'll be giving to enable them to go online. They'll have to purchase some equipment. They'll have to purchase some software, all those kind of things. And then the ongoing expenses that they would not, that are normally covered by the tuition of, in those schools, will need to be covered by our War Chest investment. And so as you give this week to War Chest offering, this is what it's for, and it will go to that, and it will just increase our influence in those nations, and I believe really set us up for next year's schools when they can gather again and have our typical school, which we'll probably put online anyway after that. A lot of changes going on, so we're just thankful for your investment in missions. So keep it up. It's working. They're having a great impact over there. So be ready. You know, give online. You can mail your checks in. All of those things that you know how to give. But I want to talk to you too about one other thing here this morning, real quickly before Ryan comes. Another question that many people have been asking me lately is how are the church finances doing? And I want to just say I have been incredibly blessed and thankful for the faithfulness of God's people. You really have come through. It's been wonderful. In fact, I've been actually very humbled by some of the responses of people to give in this season generously, because they want to make sure that the church's ministries, all the things that, you know, the expenses continue on even though we can't meet here. And we want to keep our team really healthy and encouraged and funded. And so some people have given in some ways that have really, really humbled me. And one of those, I'll just share a quick testimony along that line. A 95-year-old man and his wife, when they received their check from the government on this economic recovery payment, they decided to give their entire check to the mission. I mean, this is a 95-year-old couple that they're on fixed income, and yet they were so concerned that the mission would be able to continue to do what it does and influence where it can, that they gave their entire amount. I was not only blessed, I was incredibly humbled. I really wanted to go and tell them, don't do it, don't do it. And then I remembered Jesus standing by and watching the widow give her two mites, and he didn't go over to her and say, don't do it, don't do it. Because he knew she was giving by faith. She was planting seed where she didn't have enough in her hand to meet her need. So she used that which was in her hand to plant seed. And she planted seed. And Jesus knew that seed would reproduce in her life. So he didn't go over and stop her. So I didn't stop this couple, but I'm humbled by it. And I'm so thankful for that. But I would love to be able to tell you that there hasn't been some effect of this virus upon the income of the church. It has affected us to a degree, and has continued to make it interesting in making sure we get to take care of everything that we're responsible for here. So I just encourage you. I know that some of you probably aren't used to online giving. If you need to know how to do that, you know, email any of our team. We'd love to walk you through that. And some of you just, you know, some of you are not used to writing checks, but you're used to giving when you come to a service. Well, you can still write a check and send it in, or you can come and drop it by our offices here. There's a mailbox out front that is designed to receive those from you. And we just encourage you to do that. This is really an important time for families. It's an important time for ministries, and the mission is one of those that it's important that we continue to be faithful in our giving in this time. And so I just encourage you to do that. And here's how we have operated for the last almost 30 years that we've been here. And that is simply this. We listen to the Holy Spirit and we do what he tells him. We don't walk in fear. We can never allow our fear to limit our generosity. And so we have always looked to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying that we're to give? What are you saying that we're supposed to be doing in this season in our generosity? And then we respond to that and do as he says. It's a very simple plan, but it really works. And so here's what I encourage you. I'm going to have the band sing that song out of Numbers chapter 6 again. And while they're singing that, I'm just going to encourage you in your home right now or wherever you are, if you're out walking around and you're watching this on your phone, however you're watching, that you right now just ask Holy Spirit, how should I respond to the need of the mission in this season? What level of generosity should I expend to them in this season? And then just be obedient to that. So I trust the Holy Spirit in you, and I trust you to hear the Holy Spirit today. So as they begin to sing this, just begin to meditate on what the Holy Spirit would have you do in your offering and tithes towards the mission. God bless you. Love you. In just a moment, Ryan's going to come and bring a powerful message. I miss you so much and can't wait until the day we get to be together again. God bless you.
Be upon you in a thousand nations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations. Children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children. Their children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you.
Isn't he? Thank you, band. Thanks so much for this morning. It was amazing. And this morning, you know, just right now, just lay your hand on your heart and just let that song just penetrate all the way through and say, just Holy Spirit, thank you that you are for us. That you, in this time, that you have done everything for us and you're with us and you are our strength and our comforter today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning in your homes. Kind of try to make it as homely as possible for me up here on the stage. You know, this is new for us too, to do this. So this is great that you invited us into your home. So we're hoping you have an amazing morning. So I want to just kind of talk about a few things this morning about what the time we're living in right now and what's going on. You know, we've had to celebrate as a family a couple birthdays in this time of quarantine, sheltering at home. And so it's been really interesting. It's been fun. We've been trying to be creative as possible. But, my daughter just turned 17 a couple weeks ago, and it made me start thinking of what all happened when that took place. That when she was born, seasons changed. For me, my life changed forever. And I had to recognize that it was a season that things that needed to be reset in my life. It wasn't that things were bad before she was born, but there was things in my life that needed to be reset for this new season. And I really feel like we are in a new season and a new time that God's really wanting us to kind of press the reset button for our lives and things that are in our lives, not necessarily things that were bad in our lives that need to be reset, but it's just a new season. And when you're in a new season, sometimes you just have to hit that reset button. You know, the children of Israel went through a lot of major changes where they had to reset what they were doing. And one of those was when they were delivered out of Egypt. It was something they were praying for. They were going after it. They wanted to see it for years and years and years, and it finally came. And once it finally came, they were delivered out of Egypt, and some things needed to change. Some things needed to reset in them on how they lived life. And as you read through their journey, they didn't quite get it because they kept going, hey, why did you bring us out here so we can just die? They wanted to go back to what they had been instead of finding what's the new thing? What is the new season telling us? What is the new resets in our life that needs to happen in this journey? And they just kept wanting to go back to what things always were, instead of finding those things that they wanted, that God was looking to reset in their life. I mean, there are some amazing things came out of that time for them. You know, the Ten Commandments came out of that time. You know, the priestly system was established, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, major things that affected Israel for hundreds and hundreds of years after that. God reset in that moment. But that generation never could grasp that they needed to reset. Needed the reset of what God was saying to them. And we see that when they go to take the land and they send out the spies. And Joshua and Caleb come back, and with the other 12, they come back and they give two totally different reports based on, did they reset for the new season? Joshua and Caleb looked at the giants as something that could be conquered. Everybody else looked at giants as something that would hinder them from being into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb had reset their focus, had reset what they needed to be in that season, and they saw the giants as something that God can conquer. And that's how they saw them, and they were the ones that were able to go into the promised land. Everybody else never could quite reset. So as we're in this season, this amazing season and also a very devastating season for some people, you're kind of on both, there's both spectrums going on right now. Even on whether we open up, whether we stay sheltered, you know, there's two extremes, not happening fast enough or it's happening too fast. And then there's people all in between there. And you're in there somewhere. But one thing does stay the same for everybody is, what is God saying in this season and what do I need to reset in this season? It doesn't change whether what spectrum you're on. God's asking, what are you willing to reset this in this time in your life? And, you know, you look at Jesus's time when he was on earth, man, was that a major shift for people. He had 3 years of ministry that totally revolutionized the world. And after his resurrection, after his crucifixion resurrection, everything changed for Israel. Everything. Think about it. The Jewish person, how they celebrated, they had to do sacrifices to be atoned for. When Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice and atoned for everyone's sin, that no longer needed to happen. So they went from their whole life learning about how to sacrifice to now they've accepted Jesus. He is our sacrifice. He did shed his blood for us. And now that's no longer relevant. What a reset button. I mean, I don't think we can really understand what they were going through in that time. That these people had to totally reset everything they thought of, how they thought of God, what they had to do, what their response to the Father's love was like was totally different. They totally had to reset. And some people did amazing at it. They totally reset, and that's what the church was born out of. And then some didn't. Some of the religious sect didn't. They didn't know how to reset. They didn't know how to find out what God was wanting to reset in them. And because they did reset, now they had a Savior. They had someone that atoned for all their sins and washed them clean, and they can live that way. But what an amazing time. I think we kind of lose sometimes perspective on our time. We think this is the biggest thing that's ever happened in the whole wide world. And sometimes it's really easy to feel that way. But if you go through the Bible, there was tons of times when God totally reset what was going on. In Noah's time, he totally reset everything. And then in Jesus' time, like we just talked about, totally reset the religious establishment. And totally reset everything going from the old covenant to the new covenant. It wasn't that the stuff in the old covenant was bad. All the law and the prophets were all pointing to Jesus. And when Jesus came and sacrificed himself, it fulfilled all that law and the prophets. So it wasn't like that's now bad. It's just it was fulfilled. So now there's a new reset that needed to happen and that we get to live in to this day. So I just want to encourage you in this time, no matter where you're on the spectrum, that we really start asking the question, God, what do you want me to reset in my life? Because you know what? Church is going to look different. Life is going to look different from now on. It might not be major changes, but it is going to change. And God's using this opportunity. It's not that God caused COVID-19. He didn't do that. That's not his doing. But what he does do is he takes the things that the enemy has built in for destruction, and he changes it for our good. And out of this, he's going to create so much good and so much hope and so much peace and so much joy that we get to step into. It's going to be amazing. But we have to choose to reset. God, what is in me that needs to reset? What patterns in my life, what thinking patterns that have really worked for me in the past aren't going to work for me very well in the future? What do I need to reset? What needs to happen in my family? How do I do family now? Do I do family a little different? I mean, for us, we're going to be doing family a little different. Not that we did it bad before, but there's going to be some changes on how we do. I mean, we're homeschool parents now. That was not on our bucket list. Actually, on our bucket list was never to be a homeschool parenting. But now this is the season we're in. And so we have to reset on, okay, how do we become the best homeschool parents we can be? Now, we're not great at it. We're not very good at it. Find somebody that is. Colleen Gerard did a thing with a couple of her homeschool parents that have been doing it for a long time. That was really, really helpful. So you can go back and watch that on Facebook. And I think they might be doing another one this week, so you want to jump on. But it's all about resetting right now. God, what is it in me that needs to be reset? What are you trying to get me to the next level in things? And we just have to have a perspective. We have to change our perspective. No matter if you think we're opening too fast, we're going too fast, we're not going fast enough, whatever it is, it still comes down to where's our heart? What's our heart issues? Are we operating out of love and peace and joy? Or are we operating out of fear? Because fear is on both sides of the spectrum. There's not one that's dominating the other. It's happening on all over the place. So we have to realize, okay, what is our heart saying? Where is our heart right now? Are we living in peace? Are we living in hope? Are we living in being grateful and thankful for where we're at and what God's doing? And looking for those moments to reset. So just as we wrap up here, just encourage you this week. I have a little challenge for you that every day this week that you just take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to reset today? What in me or in my life or in my family needs to be reset today? Just take a few minutes. He'll speak to you. I mean, I'm so glad that we've come through a season in the church that says you can hear God's voice, that you don't have to be in a church building, you don't have to have leaders here for you, but you can hear God's voice. So start, have that conversation with the Holy Spirit every day this week of just, Holy Spirit, what do I need to reset in my life today? So as I wrap up today, there's a prayer from the early church that I think is really relevant for us. You know, in the early church, there was a lot of persecution going on. They were, you know, Jesus had been crucified and he rose again. And they're really early on. They don't know really what's all going on. But they had this prayer, and this is in Acts 4, verse 23 through 31. I'm going to read it because I think it needs to be our prayer during this time. This was right after Peter and John were arrested. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So here's the prayer, their prayer after the persecution. This is what their prayer was. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So this is their prayer so far. They had a lot going on in their world. But this is how they finished their prayer. So stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Even though the whole world was being shaken around them, their prayer was that signs and wonders and healings would happen. And I think that's what our prayer needs to be right now. Is God, all this is going on, but this is the time for miracles. This is the time for healings to happen. This is the time for our homes and our businesses to just be so full of your presence that there's signs and wonders going on. I think that's what our prayer as a church needs to be right now. That we look for the things that need to be reset, and we pray the prayer that the early church prayed, that the healings and signs and wonders would take place. But that means we have to respond. That means we have to be Jesus to people. That the Jesus inside of you, you've got to let that presence radiate first in you, and then in your home, and then in your neighborhoods. So don't be afraid to reach out to your neighbors. Right now, for us, I've talked to my neighbors way more than I ever have before because everybody's home. We can talk over the fence. So it's been great to talk to them, get to know them even more. And that's, I think, one of the things that is going to be reset in me personally is that I talk to my neighbors more, that I just have more of a relationship with them. And I think it's something God's calling me to be for them, is just be more of a person with them, more communication, and just hang out with them and just show the love of Jesus. But you can do that in your home and have your prayer be, God, this is the time for miracles. It's not when everything's going well, but this time when all this chaos is going on, that we can be the carriers of hope. We can be the carriers of miracles. And we can be the carriers to how to reset our lives in this new season. So our prayer should be, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So I just want to pray. We want to take just a few minutes right now, pray for you, for if you have any sickness or you need a miracle, it could be financial or spiritual or just in relationship. I want to take a minute just to pray for you. And then just a reminder that we have our Zoom call going right now that you can get on and get prayer from our ministry team. So right now, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are right here with me. You're right here in this building. And you're in this city, and you're in every home that's watching this right now. You're in them right now. And we just thank you that you're everywhere right now, and your presence is tangible. and is influencing everything you touch. So I ask right now that if anybody is sick, that they are healed right now in Jesus' name. That if there's limbs that need to grow back, they will grow back. That tendons will grow, muscle will no longer be fatigued, but will be strong. That eyes will open and ears will open in Jesus' name. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Again, jump on the Zoom call. We'll have the ID for that. You go to zoom.com and you can go right in and get those meetings, get some more prayer. We have a bunch of them that have been getting ready all week. We love you. Hope you have a good weekend. We can't wait to be back with you in person. Love you.